Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Hello and welcome to the SBCN Small Biz Podcast. I'm your host, Linda Ockwell-Jenner. First and foremost, I want to say a big thank you to our amazing SBCN podcast sponsor, Brad Poulos. He's a Canadian entrepreneur and educator, but he's much more than that. So just Google Brad Poulos and you'll find out more about him. Also, you can find Brad on our member directory on the SBCN website. But more importantly, we have a lovely guest today. I really admire this young lady, Michelle Martin, transformation and team coach, and also an SBCN member. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Linda. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. From the minute I met you, Michelle, I really, really was interested to see how your business would transform because it was, you know, a business you've been working on. I was really interested to see where you were going to take it. So first of all, how about you tell us, you know, what is a transformation and team coach?
Yeah, no problem. So it's interesting. The first time I met you, I'm going to say that I was just still in my corporate job at the time. I had already given my notice, so I knew I was going to leave. And I gave 6 months notice because I really want to set up the team for success and to onboard my replacement. You know, so often people, for whatever reason, but they leave jobs abruptly or they leave in 2 weeks, and it's just, there's no continuity from the old era to the new. So when I first met you, though, I was still in, you know, in a little bit of an identity crisis, like, am I corporate director, Michelle, or am I, you know, the transformation coach? So I remember so passionately, you're like, you know, who are you and who do you want to be and what do you stand for? I was like, wow, okay. It's
Get straight to the point. I saw you, though, as a rather strong individual, very determined and resilient, because a lot of people tell me I can't work at my current job, my current position, and, you know, try and build a business in my spare time. But Michelle, you've managed to do that. So how difficult was it for you?
It was difficult, but I would say that comes from a lot of habits. So I have worked in a waste industry, which is very male dominated, and you really got to earn your stripes in an environment like that. And I started as a garbage thrower, a temp garbage thrower, and I ended my career as a corporate director for maintenance for all of Canada. So, you know, I guess that journey doesn't come without some resilience and without some sacrifice and hard work. And I think as I was making the transition, I certainly knew I was still dedicated to my corporate job and I was still dedicated to showing up in the world as, you know, the corporate version of me, to just out of respect for my team and for the company. So there was a lot of things I was trying to do on the side and kind of incognito, right? And that's how we came to meet. But really, I live my career. And I don't mean that as I desert all friends and family. I just mean that I want to always do something that I'm passionate about and that I can live and breathe. And it's not a separate life. So when you, I guess, have a mindset like that, it's very easy to tie both together and transition from one to the other in a way.
So this is exactly why the business that you're going to tell us more about in a minute, this is why you chose this kind of business. And for me, what I tend to do, I Google. I try and find out as much as possible about people, whether they're going to be a client, a member, or a partner, or a sponsor. I want to know about them, Michelle. And the one thing, because obviously I Googled you all those times ago. So what I saw, you know, from finding out all the information about you. You have longevity in the sense that you had a, you know, you worked your way up to a corporate job, as you say, in a male dominated, you know, arena. So that showed me that, you know, the business that you were, you know, then going to be entering full time, I knew that it was perfect for you and your clients because you'd been there and you'd done that. You're not kind of a coach that just says, well, I've taken a coaching course and I think this is a good idea because coaches are the in thing now. You actually have been where some people want to be and got to where those people want to go, which is why I think this is perfect for you. And yes, I would say that it takes a lot of resilience to, you know, really concentrate on building your business or anybody's business when you are committed, which is a wonderful thing, Michelle, to be committed to, let's say, your day job career, because a lot of people, as you say, do just leave it. That then shows me as a prospective client that you've got credibility, Michelle. You'll never let me down. So credibility and resilience are the two big things about your brand that stand out for me. So I don't know whether that makes any sense to you.
Yes. Thank you so much for all of what you said. You know, personally, it touches my heart. And then from a business standpoint, you know, I think that you're absolutely right. I would never let a client down just because it's not just something I'm doing today. It's been part of my blood and my wiring for so many years. Like, I've lived and I still live the things that I'm passionate about and the things that I say. So for example, you know, whether it's self-actualization or continuing to progress in career, and maybe it's because you want, you know, more out of your career, you just want to feel good about what you're doing. Like, when you say you've done those things, yes, I have. And then I've also helped so many people do the same. You know, we all want to go to work and feel good. And sometimes I think we don't realize how much of that is in our control versus what's our boss's responsibility, our team responsibility, our job responsibility. So it's really, there's nothing like it when you really connect with somebody, bring out their strengths and show them how they can just take the driver's seat of their life, their career, their goals.
So your business, who would be or who is your perfect client? Do you do corporate? Do you do one-on-one? Do you do small businesses? What kind of coach are you?
Yeah, thank you for asking. And sometimes I struggle with this because a lot of coaches have this snappy, like, one-liner, but I don't. And I'm starting to let go of trying to have a snappy one-liner. Really, I am a coach, but I'm also a consultant. So in the consultant arena, my favorite client is anywhere from, you know, small to corporate businesses, but people that, so I have certifications and many trainings. So you might have heard of, like, emotional intelligence or a lot of Patrick Lencioni's work on how to build cohesive teams and synergistic teams. So I work with people on, my favorite question is, like, what is your pain point? What are you going through? But what do you want your reality to be? That is literally my dream day. It's like building the bridge to the vision of the future and helping people get through it.
Okay. And then let me just ask you this. So are we talking, it sounds very much like the corporate world at the moment. So this would be a corporate, maybe team building, or, you know, building a vision for your team, which is weird. As a motivational speaker, I used to do a lot of workshops, and I'm not a coach. I've never been trained as a coach. I am a consultant, but like I say, I haven't had your training, Michelle, but I just knew for me that calling it team building in the corporate world was kind of slapping the guys and ladies down, you know, because basically they thought they were building a good team. So I changed the perspective for me all those years ago. So are we talking about the corporate world at the moment?
Yes and no, because it's not just for corporate. What about, there's a client that I'm talking to right now where they have an HR team, but they have no functional programs for, whether it's helping people be better in their jobs or even, like, building communication within their, you know what I mean? So it's all sizes.
That clarified it for me. So I want our listeners to know the type of clients that you will work with. So we don't need to know the name of your client, obviously, but How many employees has this client got?
This client has 100. So small, but not like entrepreneur small. Like they have support, but they want to, I guess it's like in that case, I would augment what they have. I would come alongside of HR or the leader and say, okay, this is what I could do. And maybe they sub out some work, because also not everybody is certified in some of the programs that I'm in. So they would have to get an outside trainer to help them. So might as well have a trainer who's also a coach, who's also been in the business arena. So we can just like not just do a check the box exercise and really deliver something that is in context for that group, that employer, or that team.
So I love this because our listeners can now see the different clientele that you are willing to work with, because obviously we can't work with everybody and sometimes we don't want to work with certain clients. But why I love this, whether this was a startup or not, well, it's not a startup now, it was a startup in the beginning. Now it's, you know, got the growth and everything. I think it's wonderful that you are now taking care of this client, because where HR is concerned, if they haven't got everything implemented at this stage, it could be messy down the line. So basically that would be perfect for you, Michelle. I see where you're coming from. So do you work with sole proprietors?
I have not. Well, actually, I've discussed with sole proprietors. So I've only been out of my corporate job for 6 weeks now. So very, and I started flat-footed because, again, I wanted to really close off my corporate ties before getting into it. So a lot more discussions, a little bit of work. So really just starting. And that's the tricky thing, Linda, where I always felt like you helped me, because I've done this work for 20 years. But then being your own business where your clients are not obviously down the hall and you're putting yourself out there, like that's the part that I'm like a newbie entrepreneur in that way.
I am so happy you said that, because this is where a lot of people struggle. So in your case, you've got every single, you know, you've built a strong foundation over 20 years. You've built a really strong, shall we say, house, you know.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of furnishing that house. This is an analogy I like to use with my clients. You've built a strong foundation of your house. You've got all the rooms in your house, and now you are furnishing it with different, you know, pieces of what I would like to call the elements of your business, the elements of your brand. So I would suggest, if you are already working in the corporate, which I do think that the person with 100, you know, employees and thinking about the HR tasks and stuff like that, I would say they are moving up in the world versus, you know, a sole proprietor might not even make it. I know that sounds harsh. I would say, if you ask me, which you haven't, but this is what I see, I would say that would be your target market, because you have the skill set, you have the professional 20 years behind you, and I would say that that would be where you were headed. Would you think that if you're able to do the both, you know, the should we say, the larger organizations and the sole proprietor, would you say that might confuse some clients who are saying, well, because there's different stages of a business, would you say so, Michelle?
Yeah, there is. I guess I don't look at it that way. I look at it as I solve a problem. So the problem that I solve is building trusting, cohesive teams, and or helping people advance their career or achieve career focused goals, right? So that's like, that problem is like applies to so many different people. So I mean, yeah, it's easier for me to I guess market to corporate, but I just don't want to limit myself to that. It's the problem that actually is what I'm passionate about, what I can help people do. And even I had a discussion with a person who is a two-man team.
Yeah.
And right here today, I don't have a solution for him. But I thought, there's so many two-man teams or two-people teams. And his pain point was they're just kind of there, two individuals working together. You know, and they should be partners, really stretching each other, you know, like the Wright brothers or something, trying to build something grander and bigger, but they don't have a synergy. So part of me was like, maybe I should build a program where it's like 2 and 3 people teams can join. So you might have a group of, I don't know, 20 people, but then you have 2 or 3, you know, people per pod, I guess.
I love it. Yeah.
The truth is, and I'm not saying I'm doing that today because I have to be careful. I have a lot of ideas and I have one person. But the truth is, I guess the point of why I'm saying this is everybody has that same pain point. So whether you're a 2-person team or, you know, you're a team of 20 within a corporate organization of 50,000, it's all the same thing.
I totally agree with you. And that's amazing that you have explained this to our listeners, because some people out there might be in the same position as you. And they may be saying, can I take on that client when it's so different to, say, the corporate client? So that's a wonderful explanation. My thought, obviously I have some weird thoughts, so, you know, work with me.
Go for it. Don't hold back.
I experienced this when I started off as a motivational speaker. So I started off at the lowest level, not being horrible, but, you know, I'm telling the truth. The lowest level for me is when you're just starting out. I was desperate for clients, so I did a lot of freebies. And then I managed to move up the ladder and get to a place where I wanted to be. And then basically, you're not in my position. You've started in a great place. But how do you work out the fee, the pricing? Because I know from the businesses I've got, and also, you know, members of the SBCN, that a sole proprietor, maybe let's say an IT sole proprietor, is not got enough income at that point to say, you know, let's say you hire a coach, whereas somebody who's worked the way up the ladder and now, you know, they're acquiring more businesses and want to know more about, you know, HR and stuff like that. That's a really good example. 2 IT guys, they could probably afford you, Michelle. So do you have like a way of staggering your fee for the people who are not actually got the revenue they want yet? Or is it just one flat fee for everybody?
No, it's not one flat fee for everybody, because I think that everybody has different nuances to the vision that they want to create or they want help creating. So that's a discussion. So really, the biggest thing that I always start with is like, what is it that you want? You know, what are you buying at the end of the 3 months, 6 months, whatever time we're going to have together? Like, what is it that you would like to have? And if sometimes people don't have it, very clear vision, that's fine. Yeah. We work on that. But then it's like, okay, so based on that, and then we start to like look at what are options. And then if price comes into play, so for example, something like emotional intelligence, like sometimes I run group sessions. So I'm going to have my first one coming up in June. And that might be an option to, you know, to start to learn it. And then that comes with, you know, 3 coaching sessions, a debrief, and then 2 more follow-ups. And then that's a way to start dabbling into the world and improving, because there's a lot you can improve just by having an insight.
So that would be a more... that wouldn't really be a cost-effective solution, I say. I could be wrong, for a sole proprietor who's just starting out. I mean, I could be completely wrong. So, you know, talking about that you do have different fees, again, the questions I'm asking you, Michelle, is for the people out there who are looking at you and saying, well, if Michelle can do it, I can do it. So you're offering some really good solutions and ideas to the people out there. Now, have you come across any clients yet? And I know, you know, as you say, it's early days. So if you come across any clients yet that say, well, I've been to talk to this other coach, but that's a bit too expensive. So if you could kind of, you know, cut their throat and offer a cheaper service, have you come across that kind of client yet?
I have not. So
you are lucky because they are out there, Michelle. So stay away from them.
Okay.
It's true, though, because whichever community you're living in the world, if you're networking proficiently and consistently, you get to know everything. So, and I think this a couple of years ago before COVID was big with coaches. They were getting so fed up of people saying, well, that coach cost that much and that, and they were trying to find the cheapest coach. But the mistake the cheapest coach or more affordable coach was making was saying, well, I'll, you know, kind of cut my prices so I get more clients, but they may not have the same standard of professionalism as you have, or the credibility or all that experience that you've got, which they are looking for, Michelle. So then they walk away from the person they chose through no fault, really, of the person other than that they did cut the price, and they start trashing their name. So believe me, be careful about that, because it does happen, especially where coach is concerned. I see you as a very, very intuitive and far thinking individual. And, you know, I think that's one of the most amazing attributes to have, Michelle.
Thank you. That's very kind. I appreciate that.
But I mean, everything you've said today, tick box, tick box, tick box. You know what I mean? So how long do you work with your clients? I guess this is different for every client as well, isn't it?
It is. So it depends on what it is. So for coaching engagements, I've only ever had discussions or partnerships for 3 months. The furthest I would go at this time is 6, but it's just a package. So mm-hmm. It's not like you can't renew after that. It's just that some people come in with a strong goal. So it's like, okay, let's go for 3 months. And if you like, let's get to this goal. And what I said to somebody recently when we were having a discussion, I'm like, because they asked about renewal, I said, just take even 2 weeks, 3 weeks breather after that 3 months. And then, you know, we can always engage again. Nice. And then that's totally fine, because the ramp up is not needed on the second round. So you can get right into the heart of it because you've already, you know, met and ramped up on the first round. So, and sometimes people need a little bit of a break because it's a dance, it's a commitment. And I would say that coaching changed my life. That's why I changed into the world of coaching. But as wonderful as it is, as transformative as it is, like, only engage with a coach if you're in it to win it. And those are the type of clients that I look for. So it's not about being the smartest. It's not about high skill set. It's not about any of those things. If you meet me at the table and I meet you at the table and we're 100% committed to the process, mm-hmm. it is going to happen. And that's the kind of work I'd love to get into. And that's the kind of commitment I like to bring.
Now, you've ticked my boxes again. I've got to remember. The first thing that caught me was you are not grabbing at people's money, clients' money. They are saying, no. Can I renew now? That obviously is another big part of your brand. And the message will get out there that you are kosher. You really are doing this for the right reasons. And yeah, you obviously want to earn money. We all do. We're not, you know, daft. The other thing is, as I said, is you made a very important point there. And we all have this with clients. You know, I have it in all of my three businesses. We work with our clients, whether we're consultant, coaches, whatever. How do we get them to follow through? Now, I think we had an off-the-air conversation earlier, and I said, Michelle, in my case, what I tend to do is if I stop, you know, mentioning something, it means it's not my problem anymore. You know, if a client doesn't want to do something, they're not at that point where they want to do it. So have you had that kind of client yet? Have you had that kind of experience, and if so, how do you deal with that?
I have had ebbs and flows. Okay, so one thing that I do is first, I love prevention. So that's like usually like my number one go-to, but sometimes when you don't know somebody, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. But I always find a way, and through investigation in the beginning, what is your why? What is your bigger why? What is the heart of your why? And when it is connected to your intrinsic motivation, it's a lot less that I have to do to convince you, because that's not what I'm here to do. So I connect it into your the person or the client's bigger picture, number one. And then number two, okay, so in every coaching partnership, from a 3 month standpoint anyway, somewhere around week 8, you know, it starts to fade. So the client has had that initial like breakthrough and transformation, and things are going good, and they start to kind of like coast, right? Yeah. Life is pretty good. But because I do such a thorough intake, there's always something that we haven't addressed. And then I bring it forward. Like, we haven't, so with one client specifically, I'm like, we haven't got into the fear of failure. Are we ready to get into that now? Or would you like to, you know, wait? And, you know, usually by this point, we have a great rapport. So this person specifically kind of laughed and said, sure, let's get into it. And we did. We made more progress. So it's also about advocating for knowing the client's goals and then advocating for it when they're not, like when they're trying to play small.
So I guess you haven't had the clients yet that say, well, I know I'm a new business, but I'm too busy, or I know I'm a new business, but, you know, excuses, excuses. So how do you cope if an excuse comes up? Because you are a trained coach. You know more than me, Michelle.
Yes, yes. So I take that all from the intake and really setting that tone and setting it up. And if I'm already chasing in the beginning, like to do, there's pre-work that needs to be done. Like, then I'm probably going to say, hey, you know what? Maybe now is not the time. Like, I'm more interested in quality than just having clients for the sake of having clients. So if people aren't already doing their pre-work for the onboarding process, then that's probably a sign to me where it's just a conversation. It's just like, hey, you know, was this just a bad week, or is this kind of indicative of how the partnership's going to go?
That makes I'm learning such a lot from you. That makes an awful lot of sense. I find, and again, pre-COVID, because I don't like doing virtual events. I'm still doing a lot of virtual events as a professional speaker. I mean, I used to do a lot of the keynotes, beginning the conference, ending the conference. I miss that. I miss seeing people's faces and feeling, you know, their enthusiasm. But where I find with most conferences, especially where the people there are, you know, they are paid to go to the conference by their organization, I would say, if there's 100 people, everybody rah-rahs and said, when I leave here, I'm going to follow the steps, I'm going to transform my life, I'm going to do this. I call that the rah-rah, you know, they've got this wonderful feeling. And then I would say maybe 3 out of 100 will actually move forward to do something that they want to do to change their life. In my case, people say, well, you're a motivational speaker, can you motivate me? No. Very much like you said, Michelle, you know, I'm not there to motivate them. I'm there to do my job. And then after that, it's up to them what they do. So I really admire you, because every question I've asked you, you've given me a really detailed, thorough and answer that makes sense. You haven't gone round the, you know, round and round and round, because, you know, like politicians sometimes think, oh, I don't like that question. This is why you are already successful. This is why your brand is beginning to grow, because part of your brand is your message. And the message that I tell people is, she's absolutely adorable. I love her. She's so trustworthy. I would definitely work with her. You know, I love to tell people about you. And I don't care that, you know, as you say, you've been in the business such a short time, full time. I don't really care, because you've got everything going for you. You know, that's what I look at when I want to work with somebody or engage someone like you, because you've got the professional background, you've got the longevity. If there was one word, one sentence, any words of wisdom you want to leave with us, Michelle, what would that be?
If there was one sentence, here, I'll give you a quote.
Lovely.
We cannot teach people anything. We can only help them discover it within themselves. Galileo Galilei.
Nice quote. I love it. And that's a wonderful way to finish this this conversation. This is our first SBCN Small Biz podcast together. It's been absolutely amazing. And some people find it difficult to answer a question without having a script, Michelle, but you've got it all. You've got everything going for you. No, I am. I do not say this because I don't mean it. And I want the listeners to know this. So how do people contact you and find you, Michelle?
Yeah, first I just want to say thank you to you, though. You're an interviewer that keeps it like going and keeps me engaged with her. So thank you, Linda.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, my angel. Yeah. You were a joy to work with.
Okay, so if you, for anybody that wants to contact me, my website is probably the easiest. So michellenicolemartin.com. I'm also on the SBCN directory. And then I also have my own podcast about leadership and self-leadership, which is called the Human-Centric Leadership Podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, I didn't know that, Michelle, so I think I would like to see that information out there so I'll find out more about this.
Fair.
That is amazing. How long have you had your podcast?
I'm on episode 8 is about to go live this week, and it was actually, I'm usually doing solo episodes. I will dabble in interviews, and I had the first interview. It's with Joanne Zook, who is, a women's negotiation coach and business strategist. And, there are so many things that we don't realize for negotiation, and this conversation starts to, you know, pull back the curtains for people. So there's a part one, a part two. And even if you're not into the rest of my work, I would say that these two episodes are like, don't miss it. You'll never look at negotiation the same way again.
Awesome. And I'll definitely look out for those. I feel another podcast for the SBCN coming on with you when we both have time, because you're a very interesting and thought-provoking young lady, and I'm so happy to know you. So have a wonderful day, and we'll chat again soon, Michelle.
Yes. Thank you so much, Linda. I wish you all the best, and can't wait to talk to you soon.